Welcome to the Agency of the Month on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. This month's agency is the National Security Agency.
Welcome to the program. I'm Julia Ziegler. My guest today is Deborah Plunkett, Director of the National Security Agency's Information Assurance Directorate. Deborah, I wanted to start today by asking you to describe exactly what is the job of the Information Assurance Directorate at NSA?
The Information Assurance Directorate is responsible for protecting and defending our nation's national security systems. That's largely classified as classified networks and information and infrastructure, but also information and infrastructures that are used for intelligence and military operations, whether they're classified or not.
We hear more and more about cyber threats and attacks each and every day. How much more serious do these threats get on a daily basis?
Well, if you're like me, there isn't a day that goes by where you're not reading about some malicious activity in the press. In our spaces, we see that from an intelligence perspective, and what we see is an increase in the breadth and the depth of the threats against systems, against capabilities, against products. And it's, from our view, a growing business. Increase in capacity, increase in technical sophistication, increase in frequency of threats, and then in actual attacks to systems and networks.
So then, in your estimate, is the U.S. ahead of the curve, rounding the bend, if you will, or trying to catch up maybe when it comes to our cyber defenses? Where do we stand?
So the good news is that we have a better understanding, perhaps better than ever before, of threats to our systems. We have a better understanding of the capabilities, the motivations, and the intentions of adversaries. That's the good news. The not so good news is that our nation's systems really are not yet up to par with regards to being properly defended to protect against the myriad of threats and threat actors that we see on a daily basis.
So where do we need to get to? Where do we go next? What is the next step to get us to that place?
Well, it's multifold, but it starts with making our networks and systems defensible. And that means hardening them. We use the term harden to mean applying all of the necessary measures that we know of in order to provide the best possible security based on the threats and vulnerabilities that we're aware of. And that ranges from keeping your antivirus up to date to making sure that you're using products that are commensurate with the level of security and assurance that you need to be protecting. The second part of that is don't assume that that's going to work. So then we have to actually be prepared to actually defend those networks and systems. And that means putting the proper infrastructure in place to be able to monitor for activities that may be coming our way that don't belong, and then having the proper measures in place to take the appropriate legal actions against those activities.
You talked about defense there. I'm wondering how much of this is offensive.
You know, from my perspective and my role in this space is the defensive piece. Mm-hmm. It's making sure that we've hardened to the hilt and then doing all that we can to be prepared to defend and to actively defend at all times.
General Keith Alexander has said that having more information about cyber attacks as they occur in the private sector is really key. And I'm wondering what kind of vision do you have for working with the private sector to share critical information as it's coming in on a real-time or a semi-real-time basis?
So if we start with the premise that there is information that exists in both government and industry infrastructures that can help both government and industry understand the nature of the threats and to better protect us all, we start with that premise, then to get to the vision part gets really easy. It's coming up with a mechanism whereby we can freely share in real time information that we're detecting mutually in our infrastructures and using that information in order to be able to build better defenses and to act on them. This doesn't mean, and by all means, our focus at NSA very much is on ensuring we do that consistent with U.S. laws and ensuring that we're protecting the privacy of our citizens. We believe you can do that. It's not mutually exclusive. We actually can have good cybersecurity practices and defenses in place and at the same time protect the rights of our citizens.
So what is the best way to go about that then, to work with the private sector to get to a point where that information is free-flowing as much as it can be?
So some of that's already started. Mm-hmm. We've got great partnerships between the Department of Defense and the Department of Homeland Security. An example would be in the defense industrial base space, where we have developed a capability whereby we can share information in order to enhance the defense industrial base systems and networks, and simultaneously also be able to learn in order to be able to apply and develop better techniques and capabilities for government networks and systems. A lot of the partnerships, government industry, are in a really good place and improving, have very much improved over the past couple of years. What we need to do now is step up our efforts in order to be, because ultimately, cyber time really does mean cyber time. And so we actually have to be able to have those exchanges happening in time enough to make a difference. And that means we need tools and techniques and capabilities. We need policies and, as needed, laws in place to enable that free sharing of the information necessary for us to be able to understand and react to incidents on our networks.
That was going to be my next question. You mentioned collaborating with DHS, but what other partnerships currently work very well for you when it comes to this sharing of information?
Sure. So we work from an information assurance perspective. And by the way, this is a relationship that's existed for as long as we've existed, well over 50 years. Relationship of trust with industry, where we share in tools and techniques and best practices and in an effort to raise the bar across the nation from an information assurance perspective. But some areas that we're working in have been really fairly successful have been, one of which has been in supporting the Financial Systems Information Sharing and Analysis Center, the FSISAC, where they've had forums that have been very much focused on providing real value to the information that's shared concerning emerging threats in that financial sector space. And we have supported that effort, partnered with members of the Financial Services ISAC, conducted training sessions, shared with them best practices, and used that to beneficially, mutually benefit both of us.
What work still needs to be done? What other partnerships would you like to see formed? Or just in general, what work still needs to be done when it comes to that communication aspect?
I wouldn't say so much new partnerships formed, but to continue to mature and grow in the relationships that exist. That relationship of trust is critically important both ways, and I believe we've made leaps and great strides in improving in that relationships of trust so that we can feel safe as we share information between industry and government, feel safe that our information is protected, that sources that we might be concerned about protecting are protected as necessary, but we're also sharing information in a way that allows action.
We've talked about the private sector here in the U.S. and other government agencies within the U.S. Does this include international organizations as well when it comes to the sharing of information?
It does. And so we have robust relationships with trusted foreign partners, again, that have existed for many, many, many years. We share in our common desire. Again, this is not the U.S. internet. You know, it really is a world network. And to the extent that we can raise the bar internationally around the world, then we ultimately will benefit ourselves. So those partnerships do exist in a rich way.
We have to take a short break. You're listening to Agency of the Month on Federal News Radio. Our guest today is Deborah Plunkett, Director of the National Security Agency's Information Assurance Directorate.
Looking for innovative and creative solutions to unique national security challenges? Look no farther than Sage Management. Whether it's providing critical mission-related support to the U.S. Army, developing enterprise-wide architectures for the Air Force, working with cloud technologies, or defending national interests from cyber attack, Sage Management's mission is simple. Apply sound business management practices, proven engineering solutions, and expertise to solve complex national security challenges. Sage Consultants provide full-spectrum, lifecycle support from concept, exploration, prototype, and system development to fielding and deployment. Sage experts have the know-how to get the job done on time and on budget, essential with today's tight budgets. Sage provides professional management, engineering, cybersecurity, software development, analysis, training, and modeling and simulation to both the federal and state government. Sage employees pride themselves on their integrity and professionalism in providing quality mission support to their clients. To find out more about Sage Management and career opportunities, visit sage-mgt.net. That's sage-mgt.net.
Welcome back to Agency of the Month on Federal News Radio. Our guest today is Deborah Plunkett, Director of the National Security Agency's Information Assurance Directorate. Deborah, I wanted to ask you about your short-term and your long-term priorities right now at the Information Assurance Directorate. Can you tell us a little bit about those?
So short-term, with a focus on operations, we have to be able to provide and ultimately help others provide cybersecurity solutions at speed and at scale. And this really means making those short-term decisions that are in line with our longer-term needs. With each of these short-term technical challenges and initiatives that we would undertake, we are very much focused on gaining a better understanding of our adversaries and their tradecraft, and then using this understanding to help us create real-time, rapid responses to threats and malicious activities. So short-term, that is very much the focus. Longer-term, in the context of making the networks defensible and then defending them, the making them defensible piece, really we are very much focused on influencing architectures and standards that help simultaneously position our network operators to defend. That means building architecture secure from the ground up, as opposed to trying to bolt on security after the fact. And it means working in the standards world to help influence the establishments of standards that promote the security that we believe is needed, really for the network and certainly for the national security systems.
How hard is it to make your systems defensible when things are changing every day?
That is probably our greatest challenge. We are no longer in a static world, very dynamic, from changing technologies intentionally, by the way, to improve capability, to enhance capability, to changing requirements, to changing individuals on the networks. And those dynamics create for us the insertion of new opportunities for vulnerabilities that we would not have expected. So that becomes one of our biggest challenges, is how do we ensure that the product that we say is secure today is secure tomorrow? Well, we can't. But we can do our best to make sure that we are in an eyes wide open manner, fully disclosing and understanding the vulnerabilities as they exist. And then we have to be looking constantly. That then gets to the defend piece, right? Because we want to make them defensible. Then we're going to trust that that in itself is not going to be enough. And so we're constantly then looking for new vulnerabilities, partnering with industry to understand the capabilities that are being developed, using our understanding technically of those capabilities to help us enhance the products and services that we're promoting.
It was a great point, something you said at the beginning there, where you said that technology is changing, and sometimes intentionally, you're intentionally changing it. I wonder if you could just expand upon that a little bit more.
Well, no huge surprise. Technology changes intentionally, sometimes unintentionally. In that sense, new users on a network, new capabilities being introduced, sometimes create adjustments in the infrastructure that we would not expect. And of course, we have intentional changes as well as the intentional introduction of vulnerabilities.
When it comes to protecting the nation's security information and information systems, is your biggest challenge then the upgrading and changing of technology, or is it something else?
The biggest challenge is that we have national requirements to communicate using an infrastructure that we don't own and largely don't operate. And so we are reliant very much on that partnership with industry so that we can ensure that the communications infrastructure that we so rely on is sufficient to protect our nation's secrets. So how can we ensure, every single customer who has a requirement to use a national security system, whether it be the warfighter or the president, has what they need in order to be able to securely communicate? So the mission never sleeps. We don't. We have to always be on game, ready to be able to respond to a requirement, and certainly ready to be able to detect any untoward behaviors and address them appropriately.
So what is the main thing then that keeps you up at night?
I would say that we work our people really, really, really hard. And a worry I have, although the work is energizing, we have folks who are clamoring to come and work for us. That's really exciting. And when they come in, they so much enjoy the technical challenges that our mission poses for them. We work them really, really hard. And so, I worry about folks taking the appropriate amount of time to rest and rejuvenate and get their legs to be able to stay strong and stay competitive, technically competitive in this environment that's changing so rapidly.
And that must be hard. I know that's one of the things maybe that even I am guilty of. I love my job. So therefore, I like to work at my job, which means then that maybe I don't take all the vacation time afforded to me because it's part of that mission thing, you know. Journalists, we're here for the mission. And it's probably the same, I would imagine it's the same in government and especially at a place like NSA.
It sure is. And, to the great credit of the men and women of NSA, there isn't a day, an hour that goes by that our buildings are not populated with folks who are coming in because they're on shift or coming in because they're ready to respond. Or because I literally just heard yesterday about an individual who just had a good idea and wanted to come in and test it and came in on a late one Saturday night with a wife at home who was expecting a baby. And he had to come in order to be able to get that idea off his mind. He said so he could sleep that night. You talk about what keeps us up at night. We have heroes like that throughout the National Security Agency.
There are multiple bills on Capitol Hill right now aimed at cybersecurity and information sharing. What do you believe are the keys for government in order to be successful in the information assurance and protection arena?
So we've seen some really promising legislation in Congress. Several of those bills remove the existing barriers and the disincentives that currently inhibit cyber threat information sharing between private sector and between the government. I think that such legislation is really critical to addressing the cyber threat. And as I've said before, the U.S. government and industry both have unique insights into the cyber threat. And what we need is an ability to be able to enable that sharing in a robust and real-time way. So it's important that any legislation, establish a clear framework for that sharing with robust and necessary safeguards for the privacy and civil liberties of our citizens. Any legislation needs to ensure that the infrastructure is sufficiently hardened and resilient, critical. Make it defensible, then be able to defend it. Because we really face, sophisticated and pretty well-resourced adversaries, we really can't rely on voluntary efforts of private companies that own and operate this core critical infrastructure to defend them. The stakes really are just way too high. So we have, DOD has a number of initiatives in this area to help us move into this direction. At the same time, it's really important to remember that the requirements have to be collaboratively developed with industry, and they can't be too burdensome. We can't create an infrastructure that is so onerous that no one wants to play because we need everybody on the field in order to be able to win.
We have to take one more short break. You're listening to Agency of the Month on Federal News Radio. Our guest today is Deborah Plunkett, Director of the National Security Agency's Information Assurance Directorate.
Looking for innovative and creative solutions to unique national security challenges? Look no farther than Sage Management. Whether it's providing critical mission-related support to the U.S. Army, developing enterprise-wide architectures for the Air Force, working with cloud technologies, or defending national interests from cyber attack, Sage Management's mission is simple. Apply sound business management practices, proven engineering solutions, and expertise to solve complex national security challenges. Sage consultants provide full-spectrum, lifecycle support from concept, exploration, prototype, and system development to fielding and deployment. Sage experts have the know-how to get the job done on time and on budget, essential with today's tight budgets. Sage provides professional management, engineering, cybersecurity, software development, analysis, training, and modeling and simulation to both the federal and state government. Sage employees pride themselves on their integrity and professionalism in providing quality mission support to their clients. To find out more about Sage Management and career opportunities, visit sage-mgt.net. That's sage-mgt.net.
Welcome back to Agency of the Month on Federal News Radio. Our guest today is Deborah Plunkett, Director of the National Security Agency's Information Assurance Directorate. Deborah, I wanted to go next to commercial products, and I wanted to ask you, what role do they play in protecting the nation's infrastructure?
You know, commercial products are the backbone of any cybersecurity solution. They are used in every single facet of our government infrastructure. We are critically relying on them. These are the products that have to be adequately secured in order to be able to, when they're purchased, by the way, add a security in as purchased, that will give us a capability to be able to have a confidence that when we configure and maintain and update them, they can be equally robust. So they are critical. We have developed within the Information Assurance Directorate a commercial solutions for classified strategy that says that we believe if we work with our industry partners to help raise the bar for security for products that we may be relying upon, and then if we compose those solutions in the right way, we can actually use an entirely commercial infrastructure to deliver solutions for the classified space. So we are, you know, hardcore, you know, dedicated to and very much focused on that relationship and on those products.
I wanted to also talk to you today about the role of mobile devices. Mobile is one of those topics that we continually hear about at conferences, and it's something we talk a lot about at Federal News Radio. I'm wondering how mobile devices and the need to protect them has evolved the conversation about cybersecurity in general.
So it is a very constant theme for us as of late, certainly over the past 2 years, because mobile is simply how our constituency wants to operate. They want to be able to move around within secure spaces and, as necessary, outside of secure spaces and be able to do so with the right equipment so that they can communicate as needed. So we've had requirements on our books for secure mobile tablets and smartphones for a couple of years. The challenge for us has been to get to a point where we can develop and deliver that capability in a way that gives us the level of trust that is needed for us to be able to say it's good enough for classified information. And so we are heavy into that space in both testing and designing and developing architectures for secure mobile devices and secure mobile capabilities.
How far away do you think that that might be for NSA employees?
Well, for NSA employees, we are actually piloting inside of our facilities secure wireless laptops in some of our conference rooms. We have a pilot that's underway that started a little over a year ago. The planning for it started a little over a year ago, focused on a secure smartphone, classified smartphone. We kicked that pilot off late December of last year. It's a closed pilot, so we've got just under 100 folks who are participating. We can only talk to each other, but it's using a commercial smartphone, and we can talk up to top secret on it.
And you're excited about the progress that you've seen on it?
Oh, we are tremendously excited about the progress we've seen on it. We have been our worst critics, and rightfully so. So we've put our best and brightest individuals against determining what vulnerabilities might exist in that infrastructure that we are testing. They've identified problems. We've then identified solutions for them just in real time, just as we need to have in an operational capability. Now we're working closely with the Defense Information Systems Agency, DISA, who will have the responsibility for operationally deploying this capability. And I am very optimistic that in the coming months we're going to see it operationally deployed, which will satisfy a huge set of requirements for us, I think make a number of our customers pretty happy.
In the same vein then, what kinds of security issues do you have when folks do want to work outside of the office? How far are you from allowing folks to do that kind of work outside the office, or does that already exist?
So we have folks who work from home, telework, but not with classified communications and data. And so there are certain U.S. government employees who have requirements to be able to be outside of a secure facility and to communicate. The solutions that we're working on will cater to that clientele, as well as to those who just want to be able to walk around in their workspace and use a mobile device and not be tethered to the wire. So we're working on both ends of that.
How involved has NSA been with the security of mobile devices throughout the entire government?
So if we go back to the role of the Information Assurance Director, which is protecting and defending national security systems, our focus very much has been on those systems and the requirements for those systems. To that extent, we've been very involved, and I'd say the government leader in developing and understanding what security is needed in order to be able to use given devices and capabilities for classified information.
And before we go, Deborah, I wanted to ask you, is there anything else you would like to tell us about the work you are doing at the Information Assurance Directorate or at NSA in general?
Sure. So I'd say it's critically important to us that two things happen for us as we are pursuing responding to the requirements that are levied upon us. One is that we're accountable. We're accountable to the nation. We're accountable to the executive branch. We're accountable to the laws that underpin all that we do to ensure that we do it in a way consistent with the laws and policies that exist. And we take that responsibility very seriously. The second is that we do it in a transparent way, that those for whom we are working and those with whom we work can clearly see what we're doing, why we're doing it, and can ultimately be a force multiplier for us. Because together, working as a team, I think we have much greater success of tackling the tough problems ahead of us. I'd say we need to incorporate, and I know I've said it before, I'll have to say it again and again, good cyber hygiene. We've got to harden our infrastructure. And this really extends to the features on your personal computer systems, because each individual on the network has the potential to be a threat to all of us who have to rely on this space that we call cyber. We've got to raise the bar for security of commercial products. And we can do that. Individuals, by the way, can do that by putting pressure, you know, the power of the wallet, putting pressure on the commercial solutions providers to demand security features to help protect them and their communications. And again, raise the bar for one, we get to raise the bar for all. And then this public-private cybersecurity information sharing piece is so critically important, and collaboration. We've got to become champions for that collaboration. We've got to speak with our actions, demonstrate that we're willing to trust, and I believe we've done that, and then enable the sharing of information by actively working across government and industry to raise the bar in understanding and then hopefully stimulate action.
Are you happy to see where the conversation is going with the information sharing between private industry and government?
I really am. I really believe we have come a long way. A little over 10 years ago, I worked at National Security Council doing cybersecurity policy. And, you know, this was in the very early days of cyber stuff. I Love You virus was percolating way back then. The conversation then and the conversation today, so drastically different, much richer, much more collaborative. I think a lot more awareness of the danger of the threats that we face, and as a result, a lot more willingness to work together and a mutual admiration for the benefits and the bounty that both government and industry can bring to the table.
Thanks to Deborah Plunkett, Director of the National Security Agency's Information Assurance Directorate, for joining us today. You're listening to Agency of the Month on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
If you missed any part of this program, you can hear it in its entirety on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Search Agency of the Month. Agency of the Month, Wednesday mornings at 11 a.m. Only on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. WFED, your source for federal news now.